Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The fellas are out today. They'll be back on Monday. Luke Morrow alongside B. Scott with you instead. Figgy Fig on the steel wheels. And still time to go around the NFL here on In the Loop. You can join the conversation at any time, 713-572-4610. Week 6 kicking off last night with the Giants, handing it to the Eagles, at least in the second half, 34-17. Eagles with back-to-back losses after that 4-0 start. Giants now 2-4. The numbers that stood out most, which were pretty crazy to me, was the third down, where the Eagles were 1-for-9 on third down. Giants were, at one point, 11-for-14, and then didn't get their last two. I think one was, you know, they were just running out the clock. Do you think the Giants have something here with those two rookies, their running back and their quarterback? Do you think this is the future of football there in New York?
Well, I definitely like their rookies, right? And if you pair that with their second-year guy who, you know, I know had a rough go of it his rookie year because he didn't have the supporting cast, but if this is what Malik Nabers needs is a legit running game and a legit quarterback, and now they got a legit three-headed monster, if I'm Brian Daboll, I'm just hoping I can survive.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm hoping I can, as an offensive guy, that I can stay around long enough to work with these tools. But more than anything, I don't know if this is just like the media part of me, but I'm looking at the Eagles like, one for what on third down? The Super Bowl champions, the guys that seem like they got all the answers between their passing game, their options in their passing game, and the fact that they got arguably the best running back in football, one of the best running quarterbacks in football. They got the tush push. They got all these things going for them
yep.
that seem like they should be better on third down. How do they not make it work? It's as optimistic as I am about the Giants' future, I got just as many questions about the Eagles and what they have going on right now.
Yeah, their offensive coordinator has had a bad year. First time as an offensive coordinator. Fourth straight year, they've had a different offensive coordinator, the Eagles. And so, like, the first year, you know, they had a good one, Shane Steichen. They get to the Super Bowl. Then they replaced him with Brian Johnson. He was bad enough. He lasted only a year. Then they replaced him with Kellen Moore. Worked out last year. Got to a Super Bowl. Won the Super Bowl. And then they replace him this year with, I can't even think of the guy's name, the offensive coordinator right now, but he's been with Sirianni for a long time, and it's been a disaster. But that's the problem when you keep trying to change these coordinators every year. You know, they're 2-for-2, and the two good ones they had got head coaching jobs because they were so good. But not every hire is going to hit. And right now, this offensive coordinator is still struggling in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's the obvious difference, right? Because it's the same guys for the most part, same personnel, and for whatever reason, and this is a big part of the conversation. Again, you know this from being up close that way. This is the conversation in Philly right now, is do they have the right offensive coordinator? They're asking that question way harder than we are here in Houston right now, I can tell you that.
Absolutely. I was just trying to get his name to be fair to him, but I guess it's better that he remains anonymous.
It's not Brian Johnson, is it?
No.
I can't remember the guy's name either now.
But it speaks to like the fact that they have to recycle him. It's like it's not worth committing it to memory, especially if they're not doing good.
Yeah.
You know? Like we're barely remembering Brian Jane. I feel like Brian Johnson, I think, is a local guy. That might be the only reason why I remember his name. I think he is. If I'm not mistaken.
The current offensive coordinator is Kevin Petullo.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that, man.
Nah.
Kevin Petullo, wise guy. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea.
Yeah, Brian Johnson. I think Brian Johnson was a couple years ago because Kellen Moore was last year.
Yeah, Brian Johnson went to high school in Baytown.
Yeah, because that was the thing. That was him and Jalen Hurts had that East Side connection. Jalen Hurts being from Channelview, Brian Johnson being from Baytown. I feel like they worked together when he's a kid or something. I don't know.
He was on the Cougars coaching staff in 2017 as well.
Yeah, there was a background there. So, yeah, but every other year they get it right or get it wrong.
Yeah, it's hard to just have to try to nail it every year. The tush push, by the way, I've always been against the tush push. And last night they did, four plays in a row. Now we have the whole offsides controversy. Micah Parsons tweeted that it's trash, it's not football. I'm so tired of the stupid tush push. It's not so much because of the advantage the Eagles might have. I know people point to that, like, oh, I can't stop it, remove it. That's not that idea. It's just, it's not entertaining. And at the end of the day, the NFL is supposed to be an entertainment product. I think it's terrible TV to watch a team line up and do a rugby scrum four plays in a row.
And see, I'm different on it because I used to find it entertaining when they first started doing it. And it was the novelty of it. They were the only team, mm-hmm. or they were the particular team doing it. I thought it was kind of cool. But after a while and over time, it's just gotten a little bit old. And now, more so than the can't stop it, then, you know, get rid of it sort of thing, it's the offsides part of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't think I was noticing that in the beginning. Now it's been pointed out 1,000 times how they're lining up offsides. I don't think you can just stand for that. Like, you can't just allow them to line up offsides and because they're actually gaining an advantage as opposed to just being a more physical football team, which I thought was the case in the beginning of the touch push era.
Do you feel like, I'm trying to think of a way they can kind of stop it a little bit. I don't think they should get rid of it, but do you think they should make like a limit of how many times you can do this?
Well, I mean, don't let them line up offsides.
That's first and foremost,
very easy and correctable within the framework of the rules without even having to address it. So I don't get that part of it.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody had the issue with the four straight times. Like doing this play
for
straight
time. Yeah,
just
a bit much.
Yeah, but if you allow the play, I mean, how are you going to tell them what plays they can run?
I know. To me,
that kind of remind me. Remember that time somebody, I think it might have been the Commanders that was trying to stop it.
Yeah.
And they kept jumping off sides.
Yeah, Frankie Louvu.
Yeah, to the point they say if you do that again, I forgot what the rule was. But
jumping off sides is a penalty. It is illegal.
It would have been a touchdown because they were at the goal line.
Yeah.
And if like three consecutive, you can't advance the football any further. They were just going to like give them the touchdown.
Yeah, so I wonder if it's something like that where you can't do this four straight times at least. Maybe two.
Yeah, that's fair.
That would require some outlawing of the play to some degree, though. Like there's no legislation of this play at all.
Yeah.
Whereas jumping off sides or trying to, you know, ambush a play like that is illegal.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I do have a problem four straight times.
Yeah,
four straight times, I'm like, all right, I understand fourth and one or maybe three, maybe third and one.
Yeah.
But four straight times, man, that's kind of rough.
And that's objectively not entertaining. Like, I think you can be subjective about how entertaining the one play is.
Yeah.
But once they do it four straight times, it's like, okay.
It's just like, what are we doing
here, man? All right,
guys. Yeah. Y'all can't just run the ball up the middle. Y'all got Saquon, man. Y'all can't pick up a yard, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I don't like it. I would go back like 20 years ago where the Bush push was a controversy because you weren't supposed to be able to push anybody from behind. That would be the thing. Just do a regular quarterback sneak. And you want to try that four times in a row, go for it. But I would ban having players behind the quarterback and then being able to come up and push the quarterback forward. That's how I would legislate it. Get it out. By the way, the other side of it, it is somewhat funny. The NFL is reviewing today the Giants, how they handled the concussion procedure last night. If you weren't watching the game, Jackson Dart had to go into the tent for a concussion, potential concussion. Russell Wilson came in for one play. He grounded a ball on third and nine. The pass wasn't even close. Everyone was booing. And then they cut to Brian Daboll, the head coach, who's flipping out on the sideline and like is motioning to like get Jackson Dart back out here.
Yeah.
He had to apologize. Daboll apologized after the game for how he handled it or whatever. And now the NFL's reviewing.
Just that. It looked like he was going to try to get in the blue tent with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You saw that in him and Cam Scatterboo.
I feel him on that. He's like, this is my job right here. If this dude don't finish the game and we might have a chance to – Russell Wilson might throw the game a little bit. Nah, man, give me my man back out on the field.
That stretch validated my preseason take or early season take that they should have just started with Jackson Dart to begin with. Don't waste any time with the Russell Wilson thing. He can be there for you as a – if you want to view him as a reliable backup, I might even go to Jameis Winston before I do, but that's a whole nother discussion. But, like, fine if you're going to have him on the team at this point, I guess. But what are you doing wasting time with Russell Wilson when Jackson Dart appears to at least be ready to play? Now, he's got to figure some things out, got to have some experience and all of that. But that stretch right there validated that take of mine, I thought. Him skipping that pass that you're talking about, it was like, dude, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
By the way, only a few weeks removed from throwing for like 500 yards against the Cowboys. And now nobody wants Russell Wilson to touch a football. So what does that say about that Cowboys defense? That was Thursday Night Football last night. The NFL.com, they do quarterback rankings every week. They update it each week, and they just put out their Week 6 quarterback rankings. In case you're curious, C.J. Stroud is in tier number 4, ranked 16th right now. That's actually up 5 spots. He was the number 21st quarterback a week ago. Now, I do think they're doing this based off of performance so far this year. For me, when I rank quarterbacks, I still look at it as who would I rather have on my team right now. And I tell you, Stroud should be much higher still, despite what we've seen this year, than number 16.
Yeah, 16 is crazy to me, especially coming off the most recent appearances, the most recent games. Like, this is the guy, correct me if I'm wrong, that literally just won AFC Offensive Player of the Week. You're telling me that the AFC Offensive Player of the Week that's been to the playoffs in back-to-back years, won a playoff game in back-to-back years, and recently over the last couple of weeks has had passer ratings above – like 125 or whatever it's been over these last couple of weeks. Forget who the opponents were. That guy is 16th. I understand Sam Darnold has been good early with Seattle, and that appears to be working out early. But you're going to tell me Sam Darnold is 11 spots better? He's in a whole 2 tiers above C.J. Stroud. I just got a tough time. I understand he's been playing well, and the Clint Kubiak fit looks good. But you're not going to tell me that Sam Darnold is 11 spots ahead of C.J. Stroud. That's insane to me.
Yeah, the biggest problem for me was Mac Jones.
And Mac Jones, yeah.
I know Mac Jones is playing well in that Shanahan offense, but if you were drafting or starting a team today, come on, who are we taking? You're taking Mac Jones or you're taking C.J. Stroud?
Yeah.
Jones is only good, I would wager, you know, in that 49ers system or similar systems on specific teams with the right fit and pieces around him.
Yeah, which is great for the 49ers.
Of course.
Like to have a system where you have particular quarterbacks that are plug and play and they don't have to be spectacular. They can just thrive in the system.
Yeah.
Great for from a team perspective and for the 49ers, kudos to them. But if we're just evaluating quarterbacks in a vacuum, that does not tell me that Mac Jones is better than C.J. Stroud.
No, for sure. Tua's still ahead of Stroud. He was 8 spots ahead of Stroud last week. Come on. He's not 8 quarterbacks better.
I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's a weak list.
If you want to just rank them based off of numbers this year, just give us a quarterback rating ranking. What's the point of doing a power ranking? And lastly, here on Around the NFL, the Texans are not playing this weekend, so you could do a little scoreboard watching. Both these games are at noon. The Colts are at home against the Cardinals. Do the Cardinals bounce back after that debacle last week now on the road and upset the Colts? Colts are favored by 7.5. Jaguars, this is one of the games of the week. Jaguars against the Seahawks in Jacksonville at noon. Of course, the Texans' next opponent, the Seahawks as well. So that's a fun game to watch as a Texans fan. The Seahawks are favored by 1.5 on the road in Jacksonville. So root for the Seahawks and the Cardinals this week. And obviously the Seahawks have the better opportunity to beat the Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm looking at that slate for the weekend, you know, with the Texans not playing. Man, I don't have any interest in these games outside of, particularly the noon slate, let me say, because that's when the Texans normally play. That noon slate, only the division games are the ones that I'm interested in.
Yep.
Other than that, I'm like, skip on the 3 o'clock. Let's get to the night game. Mm-hmm. I can get with that. But these noon games are really, really rough, other than obviously wanting to see what the Colts can do with the Cardinals, since, you know, obviously you're chasing the Colts and you play the Cardinals at some point. And, you know, this Jaguars-Seahawks game, I think, is the game to watch if you're a Texans fan over the weekend. There's not another one that's even close.
And let me call that a tease for drafting the weekend at the end of the show.
That's right. That's fair. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Can't wait to pick.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, pick some of these lousy games this weekend. Sunday Night Football looks really good. Lions Chiefs, that should hopefully be fun. That's Around the NFL. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long by visiting ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. When we come back, there's one offseason move Nick Caserio made that's looking really good right now. I'll tell you what it is next in the loop.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.